Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Pour you out a blessing, there'll not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's in Malachi 3, 8, and 10. Malachi is like the last book just before going into the New Testament. When you open your Bible, it's kind of almost like in the middle of it. And so I would have it to turn, but I'm working with my time. But I'm getting Malachi, so make a note of it. If I don't turn it to you, make a note of it. But what I want to mention to you is many people have a challenge because they say tithing was Old Testament. Tithing was before the law was given. See, Abraham was before the law was given. Come on, somebody. And so when they'll look at that, and Abraham was a tithe. He tithed to Melchizedek. Amen. And he was blessed with houses and land and the blessings of tithing. But the word said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Somebody said, believe God. Now, saints, when you believe in God, when you're in faith in God, there's going to be an action to it. There's going to be something you're going to have to do. Faith without works is what? So he believed God according to the word of God, which means when you pray in faith, God's going to give you something to do. Amen. The faith to go with the faith that matched that prayer you prayed, he's going to ask you to do something. And what is that? That has to do with the faith of that prayer that you prayed. And it was God's word that you were. When you pray the word, amen, that word is going to ask you to do something. Can you say amen? Now, I'm going to make it practical to you. Because remember when they were in the wilderness, they were in the wilderness, Israel sinned. And the snakes were raining down on them. And they asked Moses to pray. Moses prayed, asked God to stop the snakes from killing us. Because they were guilty. They were sin. They had sinned. And what Moses prayed to God, asked God to stop the snakes from falling and killing, the biting and killing the people. God didn't do it. What he did was he told Moses to make a rod with a shape of a snake on it. And whoever look on, and tell the people, whoever look on the rod will live. It's like, wait a minute, God, that wasn't what I asked you to do. We asked you to stop the problem. If you ask God to stop the problem, God said, give me some faith. That's really what happened. Like, God, like Moses. Moses, like, God, come on, God. The people are dying. No, God, like, come on, Moses. The people sin. See, you're like, what kind of just God would do this? The kind that's righteous. He told y'all don't do it. They did it. Okay, it had consequences. And snakes, who would ever thought of that? Raining poisonous snakes from heaven. And they drop it out the sky, and you can't avoid them because you don't have no roof over your head. And they're falling, and they're biting people. Can you imagine people running and screaming, oh, my God. So I could imagine how could Moses have the composure to pray under those circumstances. I got to get off this. But he did. He knew the problem was so big, if anybody could handle it, I better have the time and the composure to pray because nobody else can stop this. Well, why was that? Because God did it. Yeah, when you look at the Old Testament, this stuff that was happening to people, God did it. Well, what's so funny about that, Pastor? It's not funny. It proved that God not playing. You see what happened when Adam disobeyed him? He messed up a whole lot of people by disobeying him. God's like, okay, I need to get y'all on the disobedience thing. That's another subject altogether. So anyway, he prayed, Moses prayed. I got to go back to righteousness. So Moses prayed. The answer that God gave to Moses, here, Moses, I got a project for you. You make the, God, I ain't got time. The people dying. More of them are going to die if you don't do it. So he made the rod and he held the rod up and said, whosoever looketh on the rod shall live. But guess what? You got to believe that. The people say, can you imagine seeing Moses? Moses say, hey, I prayed, man. I prayed, and the Lord told me to make this right here, and I got to hold it up. Come here, help me. I need to hold this up right here. And whoever look on it, if they look at it, if the snake bite them, they won't die. Wonder who the first person he told that to. Come on, Moses. Come on, Moses. No, you come on. You either believe it and live, or you don't believe it and you die. God's serious. And so whoever looked on it will live. See, God's not obligated to make the answer fit your thinking. He's not obligated to make the answer fit your thinking. You've got to be prepared to make your obedience fit his answer. Yeah, he write this down. You got to make your obedience fit his answer. You know, tithing doesn't really make economic sense to the carnal mind. I know it. That's why you got to have faith. So you got to make your obedience fit his answer. Amen. I'm going to have to say this over and over so you'll get it. See, when God, remember God told, he told, what was the king name? He said, but he was a leper. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. That means he was going to die. He had a disease that was going to kill him within a certain period of time. And so when the maid went to him and said, the prophet of God, he can heal you for this right here. Prophet of God didn't even come to him. He told him, go dip in the Jordan 7 times and your skin will come back. And he said, well, I thought you would at least come, you know, come and do something special or something. Have me to drink some holy water or either pour something on me or something. Nope, it's not going to be that. It's going to be what I told you. Go dip in that dirty river. You got to make your obedience fit God's answer. God might tell you to call somebody up and ask them for forgiveness. Somebody you haven't forgiven in 5 years, 10 years. I don't even know their number. You better find it. You want your breakthrough, you better find that number. You know where their relatives live. You knew them enough to do stuff to them. That's a word for somebody. But anyway, so you got to make your obedience fit God's answer. So the man of God, what stopped him was his own pre-planned, premature thinking on how God's going to do what he's going to do. Stop trying to figure out how God's going to manifest. He's not obligated to tell you that. That's the part you can't figure. Just obey him. So anyway, how I get over the obedience part like that? But anyway, that's for all of us, because what we thinking, what we trying to figure it out. Lean not to your own. Yep, to your own understanding. So with righteousness, so what occurred is with Abraham. Abraham was before the law, and then when Jesus came, of course, you know, he died and buried, and he's become our righteousness, and we do communion. But the thing with righteousness in the time of hell, one is this aspect of being guilty, but one of the major aspects, and I was covering it earlier, the scripture said, I didn't read the verse, I can at least read one of the verses. I gave you the other one. What was it? 1 Corinthians. What verse I tell you to turn to? Yeah, Romans, all right. Romans 5. Okay, I'm going to Corinthians 7. Okay, New Testament, Romans 5:7. All right. Okay, I'm going to turn to it. So what occurred is, somebody say faith in God, and then say, I believe, I receive. All right, Romans 5:7, it says, I love Romans. Thank God for Romans. All right. All right. No, that's not it. Yeah, 5:17. Okay, let me go back to verse 15. It says, but not as the offense, so also is a free gift. But if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now, this is repetition from this morning. I want to show you something in this scripture. Look at these two words right here. Look at gift and look at grace. You see? Okay, verse 15 again. But not now. Okay, verse 14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Is the what? Free gift. One more time. Is the what? Free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more of the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. All right, now, so when you look at the concept of in Adam all died, in Jesus, those who get saved, it's a multitude of people are alive, born again spiritually, up here, fourth dimension. All right, now, we're going back down where we were headed. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Justification. See, we justify by God. Are you following me? Okay, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of what? Righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Okay, are you seeing what's happening? Now, hold it. Look at what you're looking at here. You see what it said about Adam? See, you look at the fall of this guy, Adam. You know, it was him and Eve, of course. But God gave Adam the word that he told him, didn't he? Now, you got to look at who Adam was and what Adam lost. See, people look at it from the concept of Adam being the first guy, first man. But you got to look at what God invested in Adam. You got to look at the dynamics of the creation of Adam. Lord have mercy. Look at the dynamics of the creation of Adam and what God put in him. You got to look at that. Because when Adam sinned, that's what man lost. Man lost all that God put in Adam. It wasn't like he was the first guy. It was more to it than that. Amen. It's like looking up under the hood of a very expensive car and say, what kind of engine is that? That's a V12. In other words, you're looking at a man made by God, handmade, custom made by God. What kind of IQ do you think Adam had? Adam wasn't dead in the third dimension. He was made up here. God made him up here. He took a man and made him out of this material and made him up here. Lord have mercy. I can stop on this right here. You got to chew on this right here. But I got to go to the rest of it, Pastor Blair. He took a man. He took it from the dirt, the third dimension. Hallelujah. He shaped him, molded him, and put him and created him right here. Adam wasn't real until God blew into him the breath of life. He did that up here. God put himself in Adam up here. You know, there's some cars and stuff they make. They'll make the body of it one place, and they'll ship it to another place and let them put the engine in it. God made the body. He made the body down here. Adam made from the dust of the earth. You know what I'm saying? From the dust you came, from dust you will come back. That's what this is, this dirt. And he took him. Hallelujah. He breathed into his soul everything that made up Adam that wasn't the dirt was of God. Now, but I'm not through. That's half of it. See, what has to happen is our expectation that God has of us must be based on the word of God that God revealed in his word at creation. So when Adam fell, God was like, I got to redo this here. I'm going to have to do this over. I'm going to have to remanufacture this thing here. Yeah. God had a plan. And Jesus is called the second Adam. I'm a little emotional about it this morning. I'm getting further. You get further in, you get a greater revelation. Okay, because I got to go back over to righteousness. See, this had to do with righteousness, and it was another point, and I'm kind of near the end already. So when he made this with Adam, you're looking at it in Romans. You see it right there? See, it's like through 14 on down to 18, it's saying the same thing. It's repetitiously saying the same thing in a different way. But I'm going to show you, it said two things, but I'm going to show you the second part that it said. It said, but 15, but not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace. Now, you see this gift and grace? You see this keep popping up? You remember a lot of the preachers last year, Sean, they were all preaching on grace year before last, and they were going to remember that? Giving people a revelation of grace. You get a revelation of gift and grace. That means you had nothing to do with the creation of it. Or what it's able to do. So, but what has to happen is through the word of God, you need a revelation of what it is. Amen. In other words, it's yours, but do you know what you got? It's not just enough to know it belongs to you. Do you know what it is and how it works? And what the ramifications are? That's the part. So scripture is showing us here, it says, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as if, verse 16, I was on my way to 17, right? And not as it was by one that sinned, but not as it was by one that sinned, Adam. So is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. All right? You see the free gift? This is this right. You got to look at this righteousness. Because what God is saying here is when Adam fell, he sunk this ship. Really, he really sunk it. He sunk it deeper than people realize. Okay, so as you meditate on this, you'll look at what Jesus really delivered to us. See, you can know that Jesus died for you and you'll go to heaven when you die, but you can walk around your whole Christian walk feeling guilty, unjustified, and at the bottom of the barrel. That means you didn't get what Jesus did. What Jesus did was done down here. He did it down here. The benefits of it must be experienced down here. There's not going to be anybody in heaven to make you feel guilty. There's no guilt in heaven. There's no unrighteousness in heaven. All those blessings that come with Jesus, if down here. But see that what Adam did, the failures of Adam, when you see people dysfunctioning the way they are, crazy stuff they believe in, that's part of Adam. All that comes from Adam. And see, you have a different mindset. That's why the renewal of the mind is such an awesome process. Because it's renewing you to the mindset that God had placed in Adam before he died in Cincinnati. It's renewing you to the mindset that was in Christ Jesus when he came on the earth. And he was walking, redeeming man from all the curse. But quickly, the word says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, say, I believe, I receive. Okay? He said, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now, help me with this. There's one other part. It was the guilt, the condemnation. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm going to close with this. One of the things that is a major thing with saved people. Now, I'm not talking about unsaved people. No, I'm talking, this happened with saved people, and you have to deal with this and get it out of your spiritual system. You got to renew your mind from this, or it will hinder you. It will limit your expectation. It will stifle your faith. And it will cause you to live at a low level as a believer. And you know what it's called? Sin consciousness. Sin consciousness. Now, I can only go so far. I'll pick up next time. Y'all pray my strength in the Lord. Here's what's happening. Sin consciousness, although you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, amen. Jesus died, redeemed you. You've been redeemed from the consequences of sin, but there is a memory of your life as a sinner. That sin consciousness, come back down to the third dimension, is down here. This is, you brought it into the body of Christ with you. Your memory of all the sin you did and thought and didn't do that you thought. The devil knows them and he'll bring them up to you. And what will happen is that consciousness, somebody say consciousness. You have a consciousness, then you have subconscious. But your conscious thinking will dominate you and you'll never feel good enough. You'll never think you're worthy. You'll never release your faith beyond what you've already experienced because you won't feel worthy. That sin consciousness will send you the message that you never measure up. And you know what? It's true. You won't measure up. In and of your own self, you can never measure up. But you are not in and of your own self no more. Well, who am I in and of, on and of and all that, Pastor? Who am I in and on and of? You are in and on and of Jesus. You are not here. Your identity is not third dimension anymore. You're fourth dimension being. God's not holding you to any past sin. He's not holding you even to the memory of them. You've been freed from them. See, it's another mindset up here in the fourth dimension as a believer. Amen. That's where you renew your mind from those things. You renew your mind. And see, the devil, now, the devil, the mind, the battlefield of the mind, amen, see, you know, so that's what the devil does. He's talking to you. He's trying to talk to you. And he was your daddy before you got saved, so he's trying to tell you all your shortcomings. Well, you could never do that. You know, your mom and them told you you're not smart enough to do this. You can't do this. No. You're not getting that from God. The sin consciousness will hinder you. So you have to check yourself to see how much of your thought life is dominated by sin consciousness. So you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but you must develop a righteousness conscious. You must develop a righteousness conscience. You must be, and the way you do it is you must confess, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but you fail. Yeah, everybody failed, but I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I fail, but I recover. Tell your neighbor, say, I fail, but I recover. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and there is therefore now no condemnation to me in Christ Jesus. See, the process, you're in the flesh body, but you live here. This is your identity. You're in the spirit realm. You're a third or fourth dimension being. And so here, this life of righteousness is what, if God dealt with Abraham on this basis, I'm just closing my Bible right here. Man, you talk about righteousness. Abraham, okay. God already blessed you, man. Abraham doubles back with God and says, what would you give me seeing I go childless? Sometimes people think, well, I done asked God for too much already. You can't reach that point. You don't know enough stuff to ask God for too much. That doesn't exist with God. That exists with your mama and them, but not with God. There's no limit to God. But what happens, there'll be a limit to your concept of God's love for you and your righteousness, to whether you feel worthy enough to ask God for something beyond what you ever had or what you ever seen or anybody you know is God. So you figure there's a line drawn on what you can pray about, what you can ask God for, and believe you receive from Him. There is no limit. You're the limiting factor based on your consciousness or your unrighteous thinking. And God has not done that. That comes from Adam. And that doesn't belong to you. Say, limitation does not belong to me. Give the Lord a shout of praise. I got to stop. Hallelujah. I said, glory to God. I said, praise God. I said, there's no limit. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter about the past. It doesn't matter what I didn't have. What matters is the blood of Jesus and my redemption and my renewed mind and my expectation and my love of God. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus to me. Amen. She says, you got to say this stuff. You got to rehearse this stuff. You got to renew your mind. It's got to come out of your mouth. You can't just be looking around. It's got to come out of your mouth. You can't look for somebody else to validate this in you. It's validated right here. That's why we went over those scriptures. What was it? Righteousness, the gift of righteousness, the grace. Grace means unmerited favor. Righteousness means right standing with God. That you in right standing with God, and we didn't earn it. The gift of righteousness is a gift. This was the fundamental, foundational stuff that God revealed to Abraham. He revealed it to Abraham. And see, remember, not long before that, Adam and Eve had sinned and fell, and man was in darkness. But God found the man. God found the woman. When you say, God found the woman too. Dare you to believe beyond the normal level. Dare you to believe and confess. Say, I believe, I receive. God love you. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the HEIR church.org.